Wow, how beautiful. Thank you, Everthirst. Well, we began the service with a beautiful version of Mary, Did You Know? By Drew and Costanza. You know, I'm always attracted to questions. They always end in a question mark. Why? Because they're inviting the listener to respond. They're asking a question. Mary, did you know? We begin to investigate what Mary was thinking and how she was feeling. But I titled the sermon Another Carol, written much more contemporarily. It's, do you hear what I hear? That invites each of us into what we hear in the word Christmas. I want to tell you a little about the people that wrote this. Noel Regney was a young man who wanted to share classical music with the world. He was French, and as a person that was caught in the beginning of the World War II, he was forced into the Nazi army, but very quickly he escaped and then became a native, a part of the resistance fighters in the French. Yet he found himself, instead of writing beautiful music, he was fighting a war to bring peace back to his beloved front. Now after the war, he was seeking to restore his search for music, and so he came to New York. And there he met a beautiful pianist in the Beverly Hotel. And she was so attractive to him that he eventually married her. And where he was really good at writing music, she was great at lyrics. And thank you. I know this is going in and out. I appreciate that. And one day, after they had some success as a writing team, he was fighting the depression that he had right following World War II. But it was resurfacing because as he began to think of Christmas, he began to think, you know, I thought that the World War II would be the end of all war. But now I've continued to live, and I discovered that there was the fighting in Korea. And then after the Korean War, the United States became entangled with his beloved France in a jungle fight in Vietnam. And as he fought depression about the never-ending sense of war, it reminded him of his days as a Nazi soldier and then as a resistance fighter. And he saw the horrors of war. And he sought something that would bring him peace. And so he sat down to write, which is what he did to soothe his mind. And he wrote this beautiful poem about the first Christmas, and it ended with a question mark. Do you hear what I hear? He was calling out to the world, do you see? We're back in war again, but that first Christmas, the promise was peace. You know, questions are very important because they invite us in, and because they take us to a place where we invest ourselves. And so, as we continue our struggle with C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia, and particularly The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, we're going to meet, as we've done, that evil witch Jadis, who created perpetual winter. And that's what Noel saw. He saw that war was a norm. where peace was desired by human. And he saw that the sons of Adam and the daughters of Eve, instead of living out the joy of God's creation, found enmity from the start. And we discover in Narnia that Lucy takes them, as they come into Narnia, to the house of her friend Mr. Tumnus. But when the four children arrive with Lucy to his house, he's the faun that she met when she first went into Narnia. And they discover his door was broken down and the contents of the house were destroyed. And they discovered a piece of paper that stated that Mr. Tumnus had been charged with treason for consorting with humans. Now, it's interesting when you read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe that the name Aslan doesn't occur until chapter 7. After they have met Mr. Beaver. And up to this time, the children had discovered Narnia. Lucy had had her adventure meeting Mr. Tumnus, and Edmund had had his adventure meeting the White Witch, Jadis. But now all four children were together. And as they were exploring Narnia, the children didn't know exactly what to do. They were lost in this new land, and suddenly they saw an animal motioning to them. It was a beaver. Let's listen in on that conversation, that first conversation with Mr. Beaver. I read from the book. "They say Aslan is on the move. Perhaps he's already landed," said Mr. Beaver. And now, a very curious thing happened. None of the children knew who Aslan was any more than you do. But the moment that the beaver had spoken these words, everyone felt quite different. Perhaps it has happened to you in a dream that someone says something which you don't understand, but in the dream it feels as if some enormous meaning is there. Either a terrifying one that turns the whole dream into a nightmare, or else a lovely meaning, too lovely to put into words, which makes the dream so beautiful that you remember it all your life and are always wishing you could get that dream back again. It was like that now. At the name of Aslan, each one of the children felt something jump inside themselves. Edmund felt a sensation of mysterious horror. Peter felt suddenly brave and adventurous. Susan felt as if something delicious, some delicious smell or some delightful strain of music had just floated by her. And Lucy got the feeling you have when you wake up in the morning and you realize it's the beginning of the holidays or the beginning of the summer. You see, these children each have a unique response to the name Aslan. Aslan. Edmund, he has a sensation of mysterious horror. Maybe it's because of his connection with the White Witch. You see, he had met Jadis and had an insatiable appetite for this particular kind of candy, Turkish delight. And he would do anything that Jadis asked just to get more of that. Peter suddenly felt brave and adventurous. He felt a calling. Susan felt as if some delicious smell or strain of music had floated by her. Lucy got the feeling when you wake up in the morning and find it's summer vacation or it's Christmas. The holidays are beginning. We each have a response to Christmas as well, don't we? We can put a question mark at the end of the sentence. How do we respond to that great story? How does it affect our being, our energy, our hopes and dreams, or as it put, they put it, our hopes and fears for all the years? Let's pray. Lord God, as we revisit this Christmas story, as Luke tells it, please, Lord, guide us to see the different responses to Christmas. Help it to stir the question in us. What does it stir when we hear the name Jesus? We pray this in your name, Lord. Amen. I'm reading scripture from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Hear the word of the Lord. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing is impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. May God bless the reading of his word. Now, I just want to take a moment. Just like the children in Narnia, there is a different reaction in each one of us to the powerful message of Christmas, to the powerful story of God visiting this planet. Mary, we're told, was much perplexed. But when she was told by the angel, "Don't be afraid," what was her response? Loyalty? Obedience? "Here am I, a servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Isn't that interesting? Mary has a reaction of wonder, but an acceptance. Joseph, we're told, when he woke up, in Matthew 1, he did what the angel told him. He brought Mary to be home, and he was mute. He could not speak. But he was obedient. He watched and cared for his pregnant wife. His reaction was a little different. He still had some questions, but he put the questions aside to trust God. And how about these characters in the story? Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were old people who had served the Lord faithfully. Picture the person in your church or family that has faithfully served the Lord throughout their lives, and now they're in older age, and they're just waiting. They're waiting to see what God has for them next. It says in Luke 1:39 that Zechariah that in those days Mary set out with haste to the Judean town in the hill country, where she had entered the house of Zechariah and greeted her cousin Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard the greeting, the child leapt inside her womb. You see, Elizabeth, too, was pregnant as an older lady. But she shouted out as Mary entered, "Blessed are you." So even in her celebration, her reaction to Mary's pregnancy was celebration in a different way. A celebration for family. The shepherds, they had a different response. They were excited. They had joy. They went to see this wonder that what happened. They were people of action. We're also told that Simeon, who was an old person in the temple courts, a righteous man, devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested upon him. But it is revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. And it took a long time, but you know what? He had trust. And what about those magi? It says they came not even as believers, but had trusted in their astronomy or astrology. And when the star guided them to Bethlehem, they knew it had a special meaning. The meaning was invested in their love. And what did they do? They bowed down and worshiped, presented gifts to him, gifts that would allow the baby Jesus safe travel to Egypt so he could escape the clutches of Herod. Well, we too were called into the Christmas story, just like Aslan calls the children into Narnia. We're called in to ask the question, how do we respond to Christmas? And it's up to each of us. In the next few days, in your preparation for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day and celebrations, it's going to be much different for many of us this year. But let's hold in our heart the hope, the joy, the peace, and the love that guided our lighting of the Advent wreath. Amen. Amen.